Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, I pray that your journey with Jesus is like Nathanael's. Nathanael came to the realization of three things in his journey with Jesus. The first one was simply this. He knew that Jesus knew him. Jesus knew everything about Nathanael. Now, before Nathanael had ever even met Jesus, before they had even seen each other face to face, Jesus knew Nathanael's personality and character. Did you catch it in our text? In verse 47, Jesus says about Nathanael, before they've ever had a conversation, "This is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Jesus knew deep character qualities of Nathanael before they even had a conversation. Before Nathanael had ever met Jesus, Jesus knew where Nathanael liked to hang out. Did you catch in the reading? "I saw you underneath the fig tree." We think he was reading, but isn't that kind of creepy? What's Jesus doing? Is he spying on Nathanael? How would he know those details about Nathanael? I remember when I was about 12 years old, I wrote many letters to famous baseball players hoping to get their autograph back and that they'd write me. And it gave me a sense that they might, just for just 5 seconds, think about me, little old Jeremy in Spokane, Washington. And one of those players did write back, and it was special what I received back. It wasn't just an autographed card. You see, on that card, he also wrote my name, "To Jeremy." That was special. I still remember that. To be known. Now, if that was special, imagine how awesome it was for Nathanael in meeting Jesus to know that Jesus knew him. The person who was there when the world was created, the person who was the Mashiach, the Christ, the anointed one, who would save his people from their sins, knew Nathanael. How special it was. And Jesus knew everything about Nathanael, his passions, his desires, his emotions, his backstory, his quiet moments, his successes, also his failures. And my friends, let's take that home a little bit. God knows you. Jesus knows you. You know, the life that we live can lead us to a point in which we can come to the conclusion that we're just a number. Think about all the things that you do that actually lead you to that conclusion. You're just a number. You call the doctor up and they say, "Oh, we can't see you. You're going to have to wait 3 more months. See, what they're really saying is you're kind of just a number. Think about when you call in for customer service with something that you bought for Christmas for your family and you want to return it, and they say, "Hold on for a second," and you wait 15 minutes. You see, when they do that, they're saying, "You're just a number." Think about all those times in which you are basically said, "You're nothing but just a number. Hold on and wait." Life has a way of guiding us to the point in which we no longer think that we are unique and special. One person says to us, "Oh, you know what you did? It was nice, but I saw someone do it even better." Another person chimes in, "Your contribution's good, but man, you should have seen how that other person contributed 2 years ago. Or another person chimes in and says, what you're going through, your problems and stress, oh, everyone goes through it. It's not that big of a deal." You hear those cliches almost every single day that we live. And when you think about what's being said, what that person is saying to you is that you're not unique. You're like everybody else. And you can come to the conclusion that nobody gets you. Nobody knows you. Hold on to that truth here. A very simple truth that Nathanael realized throughout his life. Jesus knew him. Jesus knows you. Jesus, the one who calmed the sea and the waves, he knows you. He knows your name. He knows your successes that everyone knows in the community. He also knows your quiet failures that you hide. He knows them. The beautiful thing about Nathanael, though, is that he didn't just hold on to that sweet, comforting thought that God knew him, that Jesus knew him. And boy, that was that a powerful moment here in John chapter 1. Nathanael took the journey with Jesus a little deeper. You see, Nathanael allowed Jesus to challenge him, to move him, to change him. You see, when Nathanael met Jesus, he had a flaw. He had a pretty big problem. Nathanael was prejudiced towards a certain kind of people. You see, when his friend Philip says, "Hey, come and see Jesus, he is the Messiah," did you catch Nathanael's response? He says this, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, that's not what he said. He actually said this, "Nothing good comes out of that place, Nazareth. No one good comes from Nazareth." He was prejudiced. You know, at the time of Nathanael, there were really three kind of regions or three kinds of people, and it was based on where they lived. The first kind of people were those people that lived in the region of Judea. That was where the religious elites lived and those who had the education and the connections in the community. And when they spoke, you just knew, hey, that person is from Judea. Then a tier below that were those people that lived in the region of Galilee. And by the way, we learned from John chapter 21 that that is where Nathanael is from, Galilee. Now, they were country folk. They lived out in the woods. They were rural. And when they spoke, you knew they were from Galilee. They said y'all and this sort of thing. Then right below that second category was an even lower place. That, what my friends, was Nazareth. Nazareth was a small town. It really didn't serve a purpose, wasn't in a prime location. It was just there, and there was no really plan to this city. There was nothing really special about Nazareth. So it is kind of understandable that Nathanael would come to this understanding. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. But here's the thing. The longer that Nathanael stayed with Jesus, that prejudice went away. How do we know that? Well, we're not 100% about this, but what we know about Nathanael is that towards the end of his life, he actually spent his time spreading the good news of Jesus to a place called Armenia. And if you were to put Armenia on the list of those three categories, Armenia would be even lower than Nazareth. He risked his life to take the gospel to Armenia. And the story is told that he was put into a sack, placed inside, and thrown into a river, and that's how Nathanael died. He was changed. He allowed Jesus to change him. That prejudice was gone. He died, but his prejudice was gone. Now, my friends, let's think about that. Let's let that second point of Nathanael's journey with Jesus set in just a little bit. We love that song. What's that song? It goes, "Just As I Am." That's a beautiful song, and there's so much truth in that song, "Just As I Am." God accepts me just as I am. We love to sing that. I enjoy singing that. But what if another thought was, or another song was equally as true? And here's the thought. What if God loved us so much that he wouldn't leave us where we were, just where we were, but he took us to where we needed to be? Maybe a song for that could be called "Love Changes Me." Where's Peggy Malcolm from our church? She could write something up and give us a new hymn that could speak to that. What am I saying here with all this? What is your flaw? We all have them. Nathanael had one when he met Jesus. Is it being prejudiced? Oh, that guy, he's from California. How could anything come from his mouth? It's truth. Oh, that lady, she wears green and is from Eugene. There's no way she's a Christian. Or let's make it a little real here. Or that person's Mexican. Or that person's African American. Or that person's Asian. Or how about this? Hey, I really want to sting you here this morning. That person voted for that person? That person voted for that person? There you have it. We do that, don't we? We have that flaw. But here's the truth. God changes us. He works on our heart. And if God loved us, he wouldn't leave us where we were. Because God loves us, he moves us to where he wants us to be. Nathanael just didn't rest in, oh, God loves me just as I am. Nathanael allowed himself over 3 years with Jesus to be transformed and changed. That leads us to a third thing that really worked on Nathanael's journey with Jesus, and it's this. He had a friend. He had a friend on the journey. That friend's name is Philip. It's in our text. Now, we don't know actually a lot about Nathanael. He's mentioned in one other part of the Gospels in John chapter 21. That's where we find out where his hometown is. His hometown is in Cana in Galilee. The only other parts we know about Nathanael is that he's listed with all these other disciples. The book of Acts really doesn't give any detail about how he moves and how he goes out and spreads the gospel. The only thing we know about this Nathanael is that whenever he's listed, my friends, he's listed with another person. They're paired together, and that is Philip. Philip led, we know, Nathanael to Jesus. We also think by early church accounts that Philip stayed with Nathanael after Jesus died. The two were together. And their friendship wasn't just hanging out and kind of having common interests. That's how we understand friendship to be. No, this was a friendship in which Nathanael could ask some really deep questions about what God was doing. This was a relationship in which Philip could come back and give some hard answers to Nathanael, and they bounced it off each other. Philip was a friend that accepted Nathanael, that listened to him, that backed away when he knew that Nathanael needed space. He also came closer when Nathanael needed more comfort and care. Philip stayed by the side of Nathanael before Jesus and while they journeyed with Jesus for 3 years. My friends, on your journey with Jesus, do you have a friend like that? Like Philip? Before COVID, some interesting research came out about friendship in the United States. The research said this: the average person has 155 friends on Facebook. Man, 155 friends on Facebook. But the average person actually only really engages with about 40 of those people. Even more to the point, the average person can only turn to 3 of those friends in a moment of crisis. That's it. The study went on to say that we reach our peak period of having as many friends as possible in our late teens and in our early 20s. After that, our friendship, the amount of friends that we have actually goes down. That means I'm on the downward trend here with the amount of friends that I have. You know, one of the great things of Peace Lutheran Church are the friendships. If you visit this church, you just know that. Friends chat. Friends check in with one another, friends sing together, friends text, friends send cards to one another. One of the aspects we got to keep going in these times in which we're kind of isolated and distanced is to maintain and keep those friendships. Friendships that ask tough questions, not just the weather or how the sports team is doing, this sort of thing. But these are friendships in which we ask tough questions like, what was God doing last year? And why are things going the way they are in my life? And is what Jesus said, is that really true? See, that was the kind of friendship Nathanael and Philip had. And then the other part is this. Be a Philip to somebody else. Be a Philip to a Nathanael who has deep questions about their faith. Jesus invited Nathanael on this 3-year journey with some simple words. come and see. Nathanael did not have everything figured out. Nathanael could not recite the understanding of the Trinity and their relationship with one another. But here's the thing that Nathanael had. He had an open heart and an open mind to live in that relationship with Jesus and be changed and challenged. Jesus comes to you and says the same thing. Come and see. You may not have everything figured out. You may not be able to express your faith in the exact way that someone else has. But will you have an open heart and an open mind to follow Jesus, to be changed by him, to be molded by what he says? That happened to Nathanael, absolutely. He could live knowing Jesus knew him completely from top to bottom, the good and the bad. That happened to Nathanael, secondly. That happened to him, secondly, because he knew that Jesus loved him so much that he would challenge him in his life. And it also happened with Nathanael, too, because he had a friend to guide him through his journey with Jesus. May your story, maybe in just one of those three categories, resemble Nathanael's. Amen.